Well, please be seated. Well, what a great crowd here this morning. My. Well, you always never wonder whether anyone's going to come, but what a great crowd today. That's awesome. And thank you, Wes and Janet, for making us so welcome here and all the team that arranged for everything to happen. We've had an amazing time over a couple of days. It's been extraordinary, really great, and great to see the change in people, release in people, freedom in people, and it is always a joy when the Word of God gets into people's heart and they awaken inside. I love to see that. Now, I did send a couple of photos on. You got them, did you? That's okay. Well, that's awesome. You guys are amazing down there. Let's give them all a clap. They do such a great work at the back. I've just been up in Pakistan. We've been really busy just in this last season and making up for all the lost time over the last 3 years, so we're going for it. And we've been up in Pakistan with Apostle Maldonado for a pastor's conference and then for two crusades. And the pastor's conference, there were 7,000 people there from across the nation. Never been done before. And it all took place at a time when there was high alert. There'd been a terrorist attack the day before we arrived. 10 soldiers killed. And the government pleading with the pastor Anwar to stop the meeting, stop the crusades. But he stood his ground and held on and believed that we would be safe and protected and be okay. And we continued, and Pastor Anwar is a man of God, great man of God in Pakistan. We met him. He rang me up one time asking if I could come there, and I couldn't go there. I said, look, I'll send my son and a young adult team. And Dave went up, and they had an amazing time. Miracles happened. Dave said, I've got to go back again. So he went back again. The second time he went back, while he's preaching, the interpreter dropped dead, which is, you know, like a little bit of a challenge for your meeting today. So he just dropped completely dead, coughed a few times, dropped dead, and he's gone. You know, and like that. And Dave was preaching on a parable of deliverance. And so he just leapt over the top of him, commanded the spirit of death to come out. Guy coughed and woke up, and within a half an hour, he's back on his feet interpreting again. So they had this amazing move of God. Isn't that something? So he said, there you are, Dad. I've raised someone from the dead now. What can you do? So I'm just looking around. If anyone looks pale. And but Dave came back and he said, there's a great opportunity there. He's relatively unknown, but midweek meeting, there's about 20,000 people, and the miracles of God are happening everywhere. And David tapped into that miracle atmosphere there. And so we, as a church, raised a lot of money to set up a satellite television station. And Dave and Kate and the family went up there at great risk to themselves. That was the year Osama bin Laden was killed. So it was a tremendously difficult time there, very dangerous time. So they went up there and established a satellite television station that would broadcast the gospel and miracles all through Pakistan, right up into the Middle East, and the work has just flourished. So now the gospel has been preached. They've expanded their TV station throughout the world now, called Isaac TV, and they get more than 2,000 calls every day, people from all over the Middle East ringing up, imams, Taliban, Muslims, people ringing saying, would you pray for us? We've seen your program. We've seen God moving. We want a miracle. Isn't that something? People have come from Mecca. You can't take the gospel into Mecca, but the gospel's going into Mecca, and people are being saved there. And these places which are unreachable, the power of God is going into those places. And the stories and miracles are astonishing. They had one lady, and she's in bed at home watching Isaac TV and watching the miracles, and she got up to go to the toilet and then started screaming because she's been confined to bed as a cripple for 10 years. And in the middle of it, just got out of bed and walked. And her husband heard the screaming, came in, touched her, and both of them fell on the ground. And the Holy Ghost was on them, filled with the Spirit. And the kids came in to see what the noise was with the screaming. They touched them. They got filled with the Spirit. God just is moving in such an amazing way. Just astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. So we're just the miracles that are there are quite phenomenal, and the hunger that's there is overwhelming. So I've just got a few pictures here. If we just pop them up, and you can see, and that's the pastors' conference there, and 7,000 pastors and leaders, jam-packed. I did a deliverance session there, and we had a huge response. And many pastors never seen a miracle ever in their life. For them, it was like an eye-opener to hear the gospel of the kingdom, and deliverance and healing are part of the message of Christ. Just keep going, just flick through them. And there it is again, and that's in one of the Crusades. And in the Crusades we had, in the first one, over 400,000 people. So it's just as far as the eye can see, there are people. And then the second Crusade, just keep going them. And the second Crusade, we had over 350,000 people. And together over the two nights, about 500,000 salvations, commitments to Christ, and multitudes of miracles. Just amazing. You can see them crammed. It was unsafe to go in there. We needed armed guards everywhere we went because it was so unsafe. They had about 4,000 soldiers mixed with the crowd to try to keep the place safe. You just keep moving. We're probably nearly at the end now. But you can see how jammed in everyone is. If you go into the crowd, you get surrounded and lost in the crowd. And it's not like you're just walking in a crowd. They're grabbing you. And everyone, if you're praying for someone, they're grabbing your hand to put your hand on their head. Just a tremendous hunger for God. So we're living in a time, who would have thought Pakistan, you see such a move of God like that? And there it is, God's moving. So we get our judgments, our attitudes, and we feel safe and secure in New Zealand, but there's a hunger through the world growing for the gospel of the kingdom of God and the power of God. And there it is. Maybe is that the last one, is it? Just, okay, great. Thanks very much. So there it is. That's been great. So that's what we've been doing. And but it's great to be here as well. So it's a challenge to work out what to do, what to say today. What a great atmosphere in the church today, isn't there? And lovely, just the presence of God and freedom. So I've been speaking on building a strong spirit, the necessity of building a strong spirit. In Proverbs 24:10, it says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And I see a lot of Christians fainting. Quitting because of difficulty, pressure, hardship. I'm not saying it's not real, the hardship and difficulty, but the issue is internal strength in God. And pressures and trials and difficulties come, they just uncover our condition. They reveal what we weren't aware of before, of the necessity of internal growth. And as I was sharing, one of the reasons we develop a strong spirit is not just so we carry an increase in the presence of God, but it's so we have the capacity to bounce back in adversity. When troubles come, difficulties come, we may get a knock, but we can get back up because our spirit is strengthened in God. And we shared a lot of that over the weekend. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 16 was for all believers to become strong internally. He prayed, he said, God would grant you out of the riches of his glory. God has got an abundance of power, ability to provide for every need. He said, I pray that God, out of the abundance of his glory, he said, and he talks about then the supernatural power of God, that you would be strengthened with might. In other words, become energetic, vibrant, with dunamis power of the Holy Spirit by the Holy Ghost. So it's not just something of willpower. It's not just something of effort. It's an impartation of strength into your spirit by the Holy Ghost, that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith, that we would experience more of the presence of God in our life. And so we were sharing about that. And internal strength is evidence that you are engaging God and that you are growing in your walk with God. In 1 John chapter 2, John is writing about stages of growth. And he talks about those who are children, and children need to know that God loves them, God forgives them, that God has made a way for them. That's children need that kind of nurture. But he says of another group of people called young men. And he says young men. Now, young men is not referring to age or gender. It's referring to a stage of growth in your Christian life. He says, young men, you are strong. So internal strength is an evidence that you have grown in your relationship with God. You are strong, the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So to grow in our walk with God, we need the impartation of the life of the Holy Ghost. We need to become established in the Word of God. And you need to learn how to stand up and push back and not be bullied by spirits. This is something the church has got to get a hold of. I find so many people come, and they're coming as victims as though they're powerless. This is coming out of ignorance and coming out of a lack of revelation that who you are in Christ and what is available to you. The power of the Holy Ghost is available to every one of us. Oh, glory to God. Blow, wind, blow. Holy Ghost is available to all of us. So one of the things that we need to see, and I'm going to get on to a message called Don't Draw Back. Don't Draw Back. We need to see that we're in an unusual time in world history. I think most of us would understand, apart from just the COVID situation, the massive changes taking place on a global scale. And some of them are extraordinarily disturbing, very disturbing. You can see the taking over of the media, the taking over of various areas of society, and an agenda being imposed upon people that is actually quite scary. And the Bible tells us, Jesus' disciples came to him in Matthew 24, and they asked him, "What are the signs of your coming, the signs of the end of the age?" And he began to outline to them distinct things that we would see in the earth before the coming of the Lord. And so when we look in the Bible, we don't need to be ignorant of what is happening and what is about to happen. The Bible tells us several things. One of the things it says in Haggai 2:6, for example, and it says that there will be a global shaking of all nations. So Haggai 2:6, thus saith the Lord of hosts, one more time, I'll shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and they will come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory. So God prophesies and speaks very clearly through the prophet that there will come a season in history when God will shake every nation in the earth. He will shake it up, shake it financially, shake it economically, shake it at the core of its foundations. And the reason for the shaking is to uncover and expose what is there and to open the hearts of people for a fresh encounter with God. When God does a shaking, he says, I will shake, everything will be shaken, that which cannot be shaken will remain. So we need to build a life that is strongly built upon the Word and Spirit of God. You can't rely on someone else's faith. Many churches during the COVID season shrank massively, and people have not come back. Some churches lost half their congregation. In America, thousands of churches closed, never to open again. All it did was it uncovered the condition of the church. It uncovered its weakness. The shaking revealed people not established in a personal relationship with God, leaning on a performance, something that will bless them or encourage them and make them feel good. We're called to be followers of Christ. So God says he will shake the nations. So we are entering now a decade when there will be global shaking. It will just come in wave upon wave upon wave. Jesus said it would be like the pangs of childbirth. It would be like the pains that come when a woman's giving childbirth, where there's a little pain and then there's another one and another one, and they come closer together and more severe, and then the child that's been expected will be birthed. And Jesus spoke very clearly. It would be like that in the end times. A second thing that will happen in the coming days, and is happening already in many places, is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We must look for and expect an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need an outpouring of the Spirit in our nation. In Acts 2:17, it'll come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Now that's a global outpouring. So we saw a little bit of that at Pentecost. And what you saw at Pentecost is wonderful. 3,000 people saved in a day. The church suddenly explodes and fills Jerusalem, starts to expand across the earth. We're living in a time where there will be another outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So we should be praying for the power of the Holy Ghost. You're not going to change the nation with politicians. It's a great thing to get into politics. People who have that call should be there and should be a voice for the kingdom of God and for the values of God and for the health of the nation and its prosperity. However, that won't change the nation. What will change the nation is a move of God that changes the hearts of people. If you don't change the hearts, you don't change anything. There are very strong forces at work manipulating finances. There are cult powers at work in these areas. It needs the power of God. We need desperately a move of God in our nation, and that starts with a move of God in our personal life. And so God promises He will do it. So we can go to the promise of the Word of God and begin to cry out and start to seek God for a fresh encounter, fresh fire, fresh power in our life. It's needed across our nation, everywhere across our nation. So many of the churches over the decades that I've been a pastor have abandoned the move of the Spirit. They have abandoned it and replaced it in favor of packaging and presentation and things that look good and appear good. But where is the substance of God in people's lives? Where is the move of God to deliver people? I go into churches like that, and they're full of people who are struggling, tormented by demonic spirits, sin, and compromise, needing deliverance, needing healing, needing an encounter with the living God. And so that's one of the things. We see a global shaking. We see also an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We're on the edge of that, and some places are tasting it. And then the third thing is that Jesus said was that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached throughout all the earth. In other words, before the end comes, one of the characteristics is the church will arise and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. Not a message of Jesus loves you and you can get your sins forgiven. Something more than that. It's the gospel of the kingdom, the rule of God, the coming of a king to govern the earth. And I find when I ask people about the kingdom, many people have little understanding. Very little understanding. Go back into the gospels. Jesus preached about the kingdom. When he was on the earth, he preached on the kingdom. After he rose from the dead, he preached on the kingdom. All his parables are about the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount is the values and lifestyle of the kingdom. He said, if you embrace those teachings, you become stable and strong and able to go through storms. You need to go back into the Bible and start to understand that the Bible talks about the kingdom of God from one end to the other. The great hope that we have is for the coming of Jesus and the establishment of his kingdom in the earth. So the gospel of the kingdom, gospel that you can be saved by the power of God, gospel that the power of God is here because the preaching of the kingdom is not word, it's also in power. Deliverance is a part of that gospel. Healing is a part of that gospel. And it's not just for one or two. God wants the church to arise and become equipped and able to speak and minister the power of God. This is a time for the church to engage, no longer spectators. The Bible also tells us that the glory of God, the magnificence of His glory and the miracles will come in a dimension that will be seen all through the earth. In Numbers chapter 14, God says, I think verse 24, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of God. I've been in some meetings where we started to see aspects of the glory of God come. We began to see creative miracles. Creative miracles is where an organ is missing or a limb is missing and the glory of God comes and that organ is created and what was not there is now there. I was in a meeting earlier on this year and we saw things happen that were quite astonishing. It was we had doctors there to test and verify the miracles. And so I was next to one of the doctors. I watched what he did, and I talked with him. There was a lady who'd had a kidney operation, lost a kidney. She had one kidney. And she felt that God had touched her and asked the doctor to check her. He had an ultrasonic scanner, which he put on the kidney he knew was there to just get a pattern to see what it would what it'd be like. Got the pattern of it on the ultrasonic scanner, went to the other side, couldn't find anything initially, and suddenly there's a kidney there. He was able to testify that God had created an organ that was not there before. How about that? It's amazing. We had another woman, and she came up there, and she held up an X-ray. and the x-ray showed that she'd had an operation and had her womb completely removed. The doctors showed the scan they did, and the scan revealed that the womb had been creatively restored to her. Amazing. The amazing mirror. So we it's just, it's like when you see it, your mind goes through, how can that be real? Except I had a doctor who did the scan and I could see the scan. There it is. It wasn't there, now it's there. In some of the meetings, they had a woman in one of the meetings there where she had had a breast amputated because of cancer. The breast grew during the meeting. She came, she had a doctor's testimony, and she had her own testimony that had grown. In a meeting in Hastings, we had one man, I saw the photo, he'd had the one joint and beyond of his finger removed in an accident during the meeting. That grew again. Now, limp fingers just don't grow. This is the glory of God. This is another dimension of God. We must actually let our faith be encouraged and stirred that God is not limited. And at the end time, we will see the glory of God. We'll see great things happening. And the final thing that will happen, the Bible talks about Christ will return in great triumph, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his people. We are in the major interesting stage of history when God's plans are coming together. So exciting. So exciting. So it's important for us that we engage. It's time to wake the church up. In Joel, he said in 3:9, proclaim this among the nations, prepare for war, wake up the mighty men. It said the men are asleep, but they're still mighty. They're just asleep. And the church in the West is very much asleep. It needs the awakening of the prophetic. It needs the awakening of the Word of God. It needs the Spirit of God to wake people up out of lethargy, out of apathy, out of prayerlessness. When we don't pray, we fall asleep spiritually. We become unaware. So God is stirring the church now to establish the prayer life, establish a walk with God, establish strength in the Spirit. Wake up the mighty men. He said, let the weak say, I'm strong, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Change your confession so you agree with God and begin to speak what God is saying. God is wanting to put strength in his people. It's a great hour, a great time. Amen? It's a great time. So it's one of the things is it's really important that you remain in faith and a strong, intimate connection with God. Look at the scripture here in Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just, that's those who've been made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ, shall live by faith. In other words, God's wanting faith to be our lifestyle. And if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So let's just take the first thing there. The just shall live by faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith, we don't please him, or it's impossible to please him. So in the season we're in, it's important we lean into God, lean into the Word of God, lean into prayer, and reestablish our confidence that God can be trusted, his Word can be trusted. We are to live by faith. It's the living a life of faith that brings him great pleasure. If someone says they love you, but they don't trust you, that doesn't bring you much pleasure. But when someone loves you and trusts you and is willing to rely on your word and build their life around your word, the Bible says this brings great joy to God. And so the Hebrews 11, God goes through a whole number of men through history and names them. These are the people that brought God great pleasure. What they had in common was they believed God in the generation they were in. Now, they weren't all good people. They were fearful people. They were people with struggles and weaknesses. For example, Samson. Samson had a major struggle, but the Bible says he pleased God. He brought pleasure to God because even when he fell, he leaned back into God and trusted God, and God strengthened him, and his last victory was greater than all the other ones he'd had. So the Bible tells us of people, some became strong in the battle and others just held their ground and didn't quit, even to the point of death. And so for us To walk in faith means that we arise with confidence in God and His Word. We build our life with God. It's that secret life with God that enables you to stand. And for some, you may do many great things. For others, your great faith expression was you stood and resisted social pressure. You stood for what was right. Right now, there's tremendous pressure coming into the education system, coming into the health system, coming into financial system. There's pressure coming on us everywhere. For some, your issue of faith will be, can you make a stand and resist it? For others, it'll be, can you engage in it and bring changes to it? Whatever God called you to do, it requires strength and that you make a stand. Hello? Well, it is true. The moment you speak up about some issues, there's quite some reaction and contention comes with that. And so we're not to draw back. Now, notice that it says, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So God desires to enjoy the relationship with you. And also, because you're a son or daughter, He wants to enjoy you partnering with Him in His purposes. But when you draw back, what does it mean, draw back? The word is hupo, beneath, stello, to stand beneath. And it means literally to withhold out of sight. So yes, you believe God, but your faith, you walk with God, is not visible to anyone. It is out of sight. It means to shrink back. In other words, you become intimidated, so you hold back. It means to become timid. It means to hold back from bold declaring who you are and what you believe. Oh, it really went quiet then, didn't it? So the last few years have been filled with turmoil and situations that we've never faced before, not in our generation. And many have drawn back. Many have drawn back. In other words, when the heat of pressure came on, they drew back. It's interesting, it says of the children of Israel, of Ephraim, it said in Psalm 78:9, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. And to turn back means, it says here, they did not keep the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law. So to keep covenant with God means we cannot draw back because of fear or being shamed or facing difficulties or obstacles. We cannot draw back. We remain true to the covenant to walk with God and represent Him in the earth. Yeah, it got suddenly all quiet. So we need to stay in faith. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So don't draw back. Don't draw back from faith in Christ. Don't draw back in the midst of trials. Don't draw back when someone is pressuring you. Don't draw back. When you draw back, you have let go your commitment and your trust in God. You've been intimidated. See, so the Bible also tells us, not just don't draw back, but it says don't cease praying. In Luke 18:1, He spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not faint or lose heart. And then He goes on to say, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? So I won't go into all the story. You can read it yourself. But basically, Jesus, the disciples are expecting His imminent return, and He talks and shares a parable about that, and He says, we need to be constant in prayer and not be discouraged and quit because we don't get an immediate result. And then He talked about the woman who persevered in get until she got her result, and says that God will give an answer to his people, but we should be like the woman and persevere. And Jesus then went on to say that in the last days, will He find faith on the earth? What does He mean? Well, number one, the woman struggled because of severe injustice. If you look, you see injustice everywhere. You see people getting away with things and they're not being called to account. And that's injustice. That's lawlessness. And it does something in you when you see a lot of it. Jesus taught that because lawlessness would abound, the love of many would grow cold. And so one of the things that makes people grow cold and lose their passion for God is when they see injustice over and over and over and no one's called to account. And when that happens at governmental level, when it happens related to things we've trusted government for, then it causes deep distress inside. Very easy for you to lose your passion for God and become disillusioned because justice isn't taking place. We see people getting away with things, lying blatantly to us. And even when videos are shown of what they said and what they're saying now, and they're absolutely opposite, they lie to our face. This is injustice. This is lawlessness, and it can lead you to become very disheartened and to lose your fire and passion for God. And Jesus, that's what that woman went through. She went through injustice. The second thing she experienced was intimidation. Intimidation. Third thing she experienced was delay. Even though she started asking, there was no result. So very easy when in looking at that story for us to become overwhelmed by injustices we see, whether it's personal, whether it's in family, in church, or in the nation, in the governance, in the health, wherever we see it. Very easy to become overwhelmed with the feeling of injustice, to feel intimidated, unable to do anything, and to be disappointed that there's no outworking of God in it, apparently. So it's easy to be overwhelmed. That's why Jesus said, pray and don't faint, because he knew in the last days injustices would abound, lawlessness would abound. And he says, nevertheless, don't be offended, stay strong in prayer. If you stay strong in prayer, you stay alive to what God is doing and can be a witness to what God is doing. God is shaking the nations. And in that shaking, he needs people who will be bold, awake, and not intimidated, who will speak out. Now, that should be you and me. In the last season, there were two things I felt the Lord showed me that were major issues that have affected people. I just raised them without going into details. I taught on this a bit a couple of years ago. But one of them is fear. The other one is disappointment. Fear and disappointment. Fear. Let's start with fear. The Bible tells us fear is a spirit. It is a spirit. God has, 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. All through the Bible, God encourages us not to yield to fear, but to be people of faith that trust him. Fear not is one of the most common statements through the Bible. So fear is a spirit. In 2 Timothy 1, Paul writes to Timothy, he said, Timothy, stir up, activate the gifts in you. Don't become dormant and passive and shut down. Fear will shut you down. Fear will stop your gifts flowing. Fear will quench your passion. And this is what had happened to Timothy. And he says, Timothy, don't be afraid. He said, Timothy, stir up, activate your life, stir your spirit, begin to build and activate your faith again, for God has not given us a spirit of power, of fear. Timothy was intimidated. He was in an unashamed culture where older people, and he's a younger man, and he's intimidated by the challenges ahead of him. And Paul strengthens it. Don't give in to fear. God has given us a spirit of power. You have a spirit of power. You have a spirit of love. You are loved by God. You have a sound mind. Now stand up and begin to activate the gifts of God again. So I noticed over the last few years, people intimidated. If you just look at the core of the message coming out, it was simply be afraid and save yourself. Now, when you constantly manipulate media to pump out a message everywhere, be afraid and save yourself, it affects people. And I found that many people, everywhere I've gone, I found people in church shut down, intimidated, because they've gone through, first of all, an exposure of overwhelming media message of fear. And secondly, they've gone through hardships and difficulties, experienced disappointments. So when fear comes, if we don't boldly stand up to it, we will be manipulated. People intimidate others so they can control them. So whenever there's a message of fear, there's a demonic power behind it to seek to control. See? So when For example, when Jesus spoke and he said to Peter in Matthew 16, he said, I must go to Jerusalem, I will suffer, I will die there, I'll rise again from the dead. That's a great message. That's the message of the gospel. And immediately Peter draws him aside and basically says, be afraid and save yourself. Don't do that. Look out for yourself. And Jesus, looking through, saw behind that message, he said, I rebuke you, Satan, get behind me. Your thinking savors the things of men and not the things of God. That mentality of be afraid and save yourself comes straight out of the pit of hell. It is the opposite of the gospel. The gospel tells us be filled with the Spirit, be filled with faith, and trust in God. It doesn't tell you be afraid and save yourself. It says be filled with faith and serve people and make what you have available to bring hope to them. So when the church is exposed to that message, people draw back, they stay home, they give up their prayer life, they literally backslide while thinking they're okay. They're not okay. They're not okay. They have drawn back for whatever reason. Not to judge, but to actually, there could be a variety of reasons. And for some, it's just actually, I'm rethinking about church and what church is like and whether it's really doing what God called it to do. Make disciples. Make committed followers of Christ. Didn't tell us to entertain people. Told us to make disciples. Make people committed to walk daily in every arena of their life, following Christ and being a witness for Him. We're getting a bit quiet now. So fear is one of the things. The second thing that's come against many people is disappointment. Disappointment, you have an expectation for something to happen and it doesn't happen. Or you hope certain things will happen and something quite different happens that's quite a setback for you. So in the season of COVID, there's been many, many disappointments. Sometimes it's family, it can be work, can be job related, can be, there's so many ways people were disappointed. And that's not just that season. Some people are carrying disappointments that go back through all of their life. Disappointments in family, disappointments in education, disappointments that they've experienced. And while I was in time of prayer, the Lord spoke to me about that. And I began to write down and list every area in the last 3 years I'd felt a measure of disappointment. And it was always either something I'd expected to do and it was cut off. And then there was another one cut off, and then another one cut off, and then I weren't able to do this. And then there were situations with people and disappointments with people and so on. And I listed them all down and began to just weep before the Lord as I realized I had a lot of disappointment in me and I wasn't aware of it. And the Lord made me aware of it. And then after I began to weep, He said, I want to talk to you about disappointment. He said, disappointments accumulate if you don't resolve them. They just accumulate and become layer upon layer upon layer. And then he says, when disappointments accumulate, he said, it causes you to draw back from trusting and expectation for the future. And you need to have a hope for your future to live a powerful life. He says, when you accumulate disappointments, it causes you to draw back and become lukewarm in your relationship with me because you don't want to trust again. He says, when you accumulate disappointments, the demonic spirits use it to manipulate you and take you out of your course by leading you to distractions, diversions, anything except fulfilling the call of God in your life. He said, you need to resolve these things. And so in the hour we're living in, God is calling the church back to intimacy, back to the Word, back to prayer, back to following Jesus Christ. Back out of the place of being afraid and intimidated, out of the place of being disappointed, back into a strong connection, a vibrant relationship with Christ. So what do I do? How can I do that? How can I do that? Well, the Bible calls in, first of all, in Revelations, it tells us in Revelation 3, remember where you were, remember where you've fallen, repent and do again the first works and restore your first love. There's a need for us to encounter the Lord and have our passion and love for Him restored. And we play a part in that. We repent. We repent of having substitutes in our life. So I think the first step to come out of the place we've been in is to actually acknowledge I need to turn back into the Lord and there's things I need to repent of. Perhaps distractions, perhaps things that have taken over your life and attention. We need to resolve our fears and disappointments. We can't just leave them be. You resolve them by actually bringing them out to the open. Journaling's a great way of doing that. Talking and pouring your heart out to the Lord and letting go the disappointment, letting go the people, forgiving the people, releasing it to the Lord. Jesus himself had many disappointments. He understands what disappointment is. We need to bring it to him. Third thing is we need to actually feed and activate your faith. In 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, David came home, his city had been burnt, his finances had gone, his family had gone, and his followers are beginning to talk against him. And so it says he did this, he wept bitterly, he allowed the emotions to express because he was in a disaster. But then he strengthened himself in the Lord. You strengthen yourself in the Lord by strong praying in tongues. You strengthen yourself in the Lord by meditating in the Word of God. You strengthen yourself in the Lord by remembering the things he's done. You strengthen yourself in the Lord by being in his presence. And in his presence, God gave him strategy to recover what he'd lost. So we need to deal with the heart issues, grieve, let go, forgive, release, and then intentionally build our faith again. Begin to build your daily prayer life. If your prayer life has fallen through the floor, get up tomorrow morning and start to reestablish that altar because the fire of God comes on altars. Activate your faith. And then if you're facing something that's overwhelming and intimidating, gather people together that can pray with you. And the Bible tells us, face your fears boldly. Face your fears boldly. When David faced Goliath and Goliath began to intimidate him, he just shouted back. He stood up. Goliath said, I'm going to take your head off. And he's a big guy. That's pretty scary stuff. But David had built his life with God. And it says this, he said, I come against you in the name of the living God, and I will take your head off. And it says, he hurried towards the giant. We do everything we can to avoid it. He hurried towards the giant. He showed the boldness of a real living faith. So maybe there's things you've run away from, not faced, avoided, hidden from. This would be the time to get near to the Lord, turn away and repent of being intimidated and afraid, and asking the Lord for strength to stand up and wisdom to know what to do and when to do it, but to face the situation again. You all went real quiet now. How about that? Well, this is what I felt the Lord saying, that we're living in a time when there's going to be shaking after shaking after shaking. It'll stir all the nations. Things you're used to won't be able to be there anymore. It's a time for revival. It's a time for God to pour out his Spirit upon those who are hungry. And those who are hungry will come and hunger. I saw people in Pakistan jam in, 400,000 people jammed in a small area, no breathing room almost, and in danger of being blown up because they were hungry for God. And God came and there were many miracles. It's time we need the hunger back in our hearts again. And so when the church is called to prayer, we come and we pray. We come and we believe. And then we go and we're bold to share with people what Jesus Christ has done in our life and can do in their life. People need to hear the gospel. They hear it through you. It's time to get clear on what the gospel is, to become fired up again and bold to share it. And if people seek to intimidate, stand up to it and refuse to be intimidated. If you have setbacks, stand up because that's what a strong-spirited person does. They get back up again and they go back into the battle again. This is a time for the church to be stirred and awakened again. Can you say amen? Come on, let's just stand to our feet, shall we? God is wanting to come. Let's just stand, get the musicians up again. And I just felt the sense in the meeting earlier on is God is is coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah to stir us, church, to remember who we are. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Begin to stir your life in prayer again. Men ought always pray and not faint. Don't quit and give up on your prayer life. And if it's delaying, press in stronger. I am pressing in for new things. I am pressing in for new things in God. I refuse to just fade out. I want to finish strong. We say amen? So why don't we just come on. We're going to flow back into a song right now. And I believe right now there's people who are intimidated. God wants to help you. If you're intimidated, something's overtaken you. You've come under witchcraft, fear, control, or whatever. And you say, God, I want to be free of that today. Why don't you come up here? We're going to pray for you and stand with you as you arise in your spirit and push back against fear. Perhaps you've suffered disappointment, grief, setbacks, heartache. And you say, God, I've just let it sit there like I was a victim. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to roll over and just leave that stuff there. If that's you, you need to come too so we can pray for you. And I want you just to acknowledge your grief, forgive the persons involved, and step up and bring it to the Lord and stand up again. Come on, let's do that. Musicians, let's stir up the song and let's begin to have a move of God here today. Come on, come, just please come. Make your way to the front. Run up to the front. That's right, run up to the front. Let's come quickly. Come right forward because there's other people be behind you. There's others need to come today. Just come. And if you're watching online, wherever you are, where's the camera? Over there, okay. Wherever the camera is. Over the corner that way. Okay. If you're watching online, God wants to touch you where you are. You've been tuning in to listen to this message. God wants to set you free of disappointment and fear, wants to reactivate your prayer life again. So whatever happens here, why don't you participate? Stand where you are. Lift your hands to the Lord. I'm going to lead people in a prayer. We're going to release the anointing of the Holy Spirit and release the power of God to touch people. Wherever you are, God will touch you right there. That fear will break off your life. That witchcraft break off your life. That infirmity, that weakness break off your life. Spirits of infirmity make us weak. Not just cause sickness, they make you weak. Some of you are struggling with spirits of infirmity. God wants to set you free. Maybe you're struggling with something else. Why don't you stand and reach out? Join in with us here. And as the Spirit of God moves, you receive your miracle wherever you are. Amen. I want you to just listen carefully. Listen carefully for what we're going to do. Just lift your hands to the Lord right now and close your eyes. Before we pray, I like people to prepare their heart. Preparing your heart means you personally talk to the Lord. What is the issue you are believing for a breakthrough in? Bring it to Him by name right now. What are you believing to happen? Tell Him right now. Is there something you need to repent of? Do it now. Is there someone you need to forgive? Forgive them now. Release them now. If there's some hurt you're holding in your heart, tell the Lord about it and release it to Him. Just do it now. Prepare your heart. You're positioning yourself. We submit to God, then we resist the devil, he flees. Presence of God is here. God loves you deeply, wants you to be free. This is what we're going to do now. We're going to lead you in a prayer in a moment. I want everyone here and online, I want you just to follow the prayer. The prayer is reaching out in faith to reposition ourselves again. We drew back, but now we're coming forward again. And as we come forward with a heart that's hungry for God and repentant and letting go of those things that took hold of us, we stand up and expect to encounter the Lord. I lead you in a prayer. When we finish the prayer, I want us all begin to shout and pray to the Lord, pray in the Spirit, and I'll begin to pray to break demonic holds over your life. The Bible says He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Then the ministry team going to come and pray for you. So I need all the ministry team up ready to go. Okay, just follow me right now. Jesus, I open my heart to You now. I come to You in faith. Lord, I've drawn back, but now I come to You. I ask You to forgive me for yielding to fear, disappointment. I turn to You today. I break my agreement with fear. I refuse it.
In Jesus' name, I believe you have set me free. I believe your power is here today. I release my disappointments. I forgive those who've hurt me. And today, in Jesus' name, I receive a fresh mantle, fresh power, fresh anointing to face the challenges and witness for Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit of prayer and the spirit of faith coming upon me now in Jesus' name. Now let's begin to pray and clap to the Lord. Come on, give out a shout. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority over witchcraft, over spirits of fear, spirits of infirmity, spirits of grief, disappointment, tormenting spirits. I command you in Jesus' name, go, 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 loose in Jesus' name. I release the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I release fresh fire, 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 fire. Ministry team, where are you all? Come and pray for people. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's keep worshiping the Lord as we lay hands on people and pray for them.